It's time for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Let's get to it. Live once again in the city of brotherly love, none other than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, broadcasting from and hanging out in the WWDB 860 AM studios. Yes, you heard right. You tune yourself in to another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Good evening, Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco, and Southwest New Jersey. But folks, we do not stop there. We are entering eardrums anywhere that you got access to the internet. Stream us live every Friday at 6 p.m. EST by going to WWDBAM.com. And of course, you can catch the replay on all major podcast platforms. By the way, my name is Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev, and I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P. And I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
Okay, well, we're glad to be back with you guys with a new episode. I'm actually recording remotely. Scott is in the studio. He lives a lot closer, and the studio is really fun. I like going there. There's something. It's a different energy. You know, I'm louder on that microphone even somehow when I'm there. Already a pretty loud guy. But we had been off the last 2 weeks. We had some reruns going. Scott was doing his thing. I was doing mine. We were all over the place enjoying summer, and we hope that you guys have been doing the same thing. But before we know it, summer's going to be over. We're already pretty much just about halfway through, because if you count summer by like school time, right? Most people, they're not counting it technically. I think it's over like September 22nd, but most of us count it as over the minute the kids go back to school and the school buses start having traffic at 8 a.m. again or whatever it is. So we need to be careful. And what we need to be careful about is making sure, and we've said this so many times on the show, especially before summer started, being careful about watching our mental health as the fall and winter comes. It seems to creep up on all of us and so many people every single year that in the summer, we almost forget that we feel bad. And I'm not being ignorant, because Scott and I both know, guys, like obviously there's plenty of people still suffering right now. But I found this happened to me when I was a kid. I dealt with pretty severe mental health issues. But the summer, you know, you kind of just get relaxed enough and the sun's out and stuff. So you're feeling a little bit better. And you might forget about the things that you needed to do and the habits that you kept in place to actually get healthy. And so we're excited to just be back bringing those. And Scott came up with the topic today, which is pretty typical. And I had, you know, some great thoughts about it. There was already some ideas flowing. So we find the longer we've done this together, the more like synchronized our ideas are. So Scott, you want to introduce the topic for the day?
Absolutely, Ev. I'm looking forward to this topic. And I know it's something that both of us have a lot of experience with, but something that every single person can relate to in some type of way on some type of level. And that's always what we want to do with this show, is we want to have topics. We want to talk about things that you, the listener, can relate to, that you are going through right now. And also, as we do in our part three, give you strategies to overcome whatever that type of issue might be. So for today, what our topic is really simply, we're talking about our environment and the people within our environment and how that impacts our mental health, both in a positive way, but also in a negative way. And we're going to talk about both sides of that, because like anything, like most things in this world, there is always two sides to every single story. So we can't just say, oh, you know what? The people you surround yourself with are the reason your mental health is maybe not so great. But at the same time, we can't also just say, oh, surround yourself with good people and everything will be all happy-go-lucky. It's a little bit of both, but we need to be aware of that. And we really need to be mindful of it, because a lot of times our environment is something that we feel, you know what? Maybe I can't change that. My environment is what it is. I can't do anything about it, Scott. And that's true. However, just because you're in a certain environment doesn't mean that you have to let that environment change you. Okay, so you might not be able to change your environment. All right, that's a thing. But what you can change is the people that maybe you're surrounding yourself within that environment. And that's one of the aspects. There's many aspects to this that we're going to talk about today, but that is one of the big ones that I think I've heard a lot from people that I work with. I know Evan has as well, is just kind of being in maybe that toxic environment. And let's say maybe it's not people per se. Maybe it's kind of a culture or a vibe of a workplace that you're at. That could fall into this too. So we got a lot of different aspects we're going to be talking about today. And I think for you, the listener, what I want you to do is I want you to insert your own situation into this. So maybe it is people. Maybe it is a workplace. Maybe it is a neighborhood. Whatever it is. is, I want you to think about that as we go throughout this and what we're talking about so that you can really kind of make it hit home for you. All right. But I think today, the really cool thing about it is that Evan and I have a lot of different experiences. And you know, we'll talk about that later in part two, but it's going to be something that I think a lot of you can relate to. And it's going to be something that really is going to open your mind to different possibilities too. And also help you to become aware of maybe a huge issue in your life that you maybe weren't aware of prior to this.
Sure. And certainly if you can change it, it's one of the first things you should change. But then that's a really good point, because sometimes we might know the importance of the environment, but we're stuck in it. There's definitely going to be times where we're stuck, especially the younger that we are. True. I know for people like us who talk to kids, it's one of the hardest questions to try to answer, right? Like, what do I do if my family's not open to this stuff or about this stuff? And they're like 15. I'm like, dang, man, like I don't, you know, there's no good answer for that per se. There's tools that we can give, but yeah, the ideal thing would be we're around people who understand that mental health is like a real thing.
Yeah, sure.
And actually needs support. And if we can change though, it's one of the first things we should do. And I know that we have some people that listen who we've spoken to, right? And they're like, okay, cool. Like, where do you guys do the show? And so if you've heard me speak, you know, for a fact, the third thing I always list off in my presentation, Scott, is be careful who you surround yourself with. Because mm-hmm. I believe, as Jim Rohn said, we're the product of the five people we spend the most time with. And it's something you have to constantly keep into check, because you'll drift out or you'll start doing a solopreneur type thing. And it's easy to get obsessed with that and too busy. I know not everyone's doing the solopreneur thing. I get that. But we start being independent with too many aspects of our lives and not getting support. And then we realize that maybe the closest people around us are like our family members or stuff. And perhaps there's nothing wrong with our family members. Maybe they're great people. But if you're trying to do certain things in life, you got to be careful, right? Because just because someone's a good person doesn't necessarily mean that they're a great person for you or what you're trying to do. And that's like a success principle, let alone a mental health principle. If we're around five people that aren't receptive to these mental health things, or similarly, if we're around people that get, as we've talked about this on the show too deep into the mental health thing, right? They identify with it and they act as if it's a permanent part of their identity that's never going to change or fluctuate. Well, that could have its own kind of issues. So I think it's super important. I genuinely believe that all the good things in my life came from one personal responsibility, but that personal responsibility immediately led me to getting different people in my life at a very young age. And man, I doubt I'd be here speaking with you or doing this radio show and doing anything that I do really, if it wasn't for getting around those people at 18 years old. I mean, it can be that much of a difference in someone's life.
It really is. It's so true, because we are creatures as humans that are very, very, very susceptible to different influences. Mm-hmm. Bad influences, good influences. But influence is all around us and it shapes us, right? Especially the younger that we are. And sometimes what can happen is when you're influenced by maybe a certain environment or certain people at a young age, it becomes more difficult to kind of break that habit. It becomes more difficult to get out of that and to change your ways, because when you're in that impressionable time in your life, whether it's a young kid or a teenager, even young adult, getting out of that takes a lot more work. And why does it take more work? Well, because we're trying to break years of this type of habit and this type of thinking and this type of influence that this person or environment has had on us. And that's a bit of a challenge. But like Evan was saying, if you can change it, it's one of the first things that you can do, because that we are always going to have influence, and we want to surround ourselves with positive influences. And when I say positive influences, I don't mean that you have to surround yourself with people that are like, hey, my life sucks, but I'm still going to be happy, woohoo, and ignore all my problems. I mean, I think that's a little annoying too, because it's false positivity. And personally, I got a beef with that. I can't stand that, but that's for another time. We won't talk about that now. Anyways, but you want to make sure that you're finding these type of people who are going to help you to move forward in your life. You know, one of the biggest red flags is that if you're around people or in a situation in which the people or the environment or the team, the culture, whatever it is putting you down and making you feel worse about yourself, or making you partake or do things that you know are not healthy and good for you, that is a huge red flag that we need to change something here. Something has to change. Maybe not everything. Maybe that's not within our power. But something in this time, in this moment, needs to change, because that's going to impact us greatly. Because this stuff stays with us. And influence isn't something that's ever really going to go away, right? You know, I'm 25 years old and I still find myself influenced by certain people when I'm around them. However, and if you listen to our show, we talk about this all the time, I'm aware of it now. And when I'm aware of it, I could say, you know what? This person's not good for me. I can't be around this. Or, oh, being in this environment for too long is not healthy for me. I start to see some of those old aspects of myself that I don't like pop up again. I got to get away from this, right? And so becoming self-aware, not just with what we're thinking, like we usually talk about, but also in the physical sense with what's around us is extremely, extremely important. So we've got a lot more to talk about this with this subject here. It's a really good one. I think you all are in for a treat, but we are going to be right back after these quick commercial messages.
Hey everyone, Eric Katz here, the owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Are you working from home and need to get your dog out running around for the day? Will you be traveling this summer and looking for a place to board your pup? Is your dog looking a little shaggy and need a haircut or bath? Are you looking forward to walking around and enjoying this beautiful weather, but you can't because your dog's pulling like a freight train? Well, you're in luck. We are a one-stop shop that focuses on daycare, boarding, grooming, and training. We are located at 35 Middle Road, Percocet, PA, on 10 beautiful acres. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Katz Dogs Canine or our website, katzdogscanine.com. Our phone number is 855-CATS-DOG, 855-528-9364.
What's going on, everyone? This is Scott Prendergast here, aka Scotty P. And a lot of you know me from the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev as one of your hosts. But real quick, I want to talk to you about my business. It's called Scotty P Inspiration. And what I am is I'm an inspirational speaker and I want to help others navigate life through the lens of hope. Now, I do this through speaking engagements, but also one-on-one life coaching. So if you're interested in booking me or doing some of that coaching, let me know. Check me out at www.scottypinspiration.com or check out my Instagram at scottyp_inspo.
If you're a parent who wants to understand the mental health challenges your child faces, then my book, My Perfect Life, How Depression Almost Ended It and How I Found Purpose Through Pain, is for you. Through goofy, relatable stories, you'll see the world from the eyes of someone silently battling depression. Most importantly, you'll learn how we can find hope and purpose through pain. Get your copy of My Perfect Life today. Available on Amazon by searching Lucas Wolf, My Perfect Life. And that's Wolf with an E.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Evan Transu, aka Ev here. I just wanted to shout out my friends at FDN Thrive. Part of my story with mental health is that I was actually able to get a hold of a lot of my mental and physical health issues by addressing what was going on in my body. So I do mean more of a natural slash functional medicine side. Is this going to be for everyone? Absolutely not. But if you're someone like me who suffered for years and maybe a lot of the conventional things didn't work out, you might want to consider what is going on in your body and see if that is playing any role. So if you want to focus on something more objective, get some lab results and actually have these lab results analyzed by practitioners who are trained in this specific modality, then go to fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. That's fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. All right, and we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P and Ev, where we are talking all things mental health all of the time. Today's topic is our environment, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. And it was such a perfect idea on Scott's part because I was just thinking about this and writing some stuff down for a separate thing that I'm doing, but it applies directly to the mental health stuff as well. My name is Evan Transu, aka Ev, and I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, aka Scotty P, and I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
All right, so typically, guys, this is how it goes. We have three parts to the show, and we break down part one as kind of the introduction, right? We're just introducing the topic, floating around why it's important. Part two might be experiences where, you know, the topic that we're having or talking about did not serve us so well because we weren't using it correctly. And part three is our favorite part. It's where we apply things that we learn, tips and tricks. We're not an expert on anything necessarily, but we've learned quite a few things in our life and just from talking to people, and we like to share those just to provoke thoughts. So Scott, I got to start with something right off the bat because I knew that I could find these pretty easily. So I just wanted to pull up these stats. There's been studies done showing that, because this is to prove how important the environment is, right? That if your spouse is obese, you become 37% more likely to become obese. If your closest friend is a smoker, you're 7.1 times more likely to become a smoker. And I looked up real quick. I couldn't find it. I know that there's studies for income and happiness as well. But, you know, you don't even need the science for it sometimes. Sometimes it's best to prove it to yourself. So I encourage everyone, actually take down a piece of paper, after the show or right now, whatever you want to do, and write down the people that are the five people that are closest to you. And assuming that you're an adult, let's say that you're like over the age of 20, not in college anymore, whatever, you know, time or take their income, add it all together, divide it by five, and see how close that is to yours. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. This isn't some condemnation of people making a certain amount. It has nothing to do with that. But my point is, you have to think about this kind of stuff. Pro athletes hang out with other pro athletes. Bodybuilders hang out with bodybuilders. Millionaires hang out with millionaires. There's a reason for this, right? We become who we spend the most time with. And so when it comes to mental health, even though this isn't everything, mental health is a health condition. You know, you're not going to get cancer just because your friend got cancer per se. But the attitudes and mindsets necessary to dig ourselves out of some of the holes that mental health issues can put ourselves in, that does matter with who we're around. And it made a dramatic difference for me based on my high school friends to my new friends, which I'll talk about. And I have plenty of things to say about the environment that I was in high school, but I just had to list that off first. So Scott, I'm not sure if you have like an experience or story or something that, you know, relates to the topic today where you were just in the wrong environment and maybe that was not affecting your mental health so well.
Yeah, I can think of so many different examples. But one of the things for me that I really want to mention is this old little quote, old little phrase, right? The old quote that goes, misery loves company, right? Mm. I'm sure we've all heard of that before. We all kind of have a general idea about what it does mean. But I found this to be, especially as I get older, 192.5% true. It is crazy because when somebody's unhappy with their life, they're in a way, a sick way, but a way, they want to bring somebody else down so that they can also be in that same position. Because if I'm alone and unhappy, oh, that's scary. But if more of us are together unhappy, well, at least we have that camaraderie. And for me, this is something that I dealt with for years. I remember in high school and in college, I would find myself, not really by choice, just by whether I was in class or sometimes roommates, around these people that were extremely negative and they were unhappy with their lives. They were unhappy with who they were. They were doing a lot of things that I didn't agree with. And for me, it was a constant battle. I knew it was wrong, but here's the situation. I was rooming with these people. I was living with these people. They lived on my floor, right? I wasn't able to escape it. However, what I was able to do was to build kind of my own little fortress per se and say, okay, these people all around me, they're miserable. They're trying to complain. They're trying to bring me down with them too because they want that camaraderie. I have to make the decision that I'm not going to let that happen. I'm around these people right now. I don't agree with it, but I don't have to let their influence change me. And I had to make that decision, and it was hard. It wasn't easy when you're going to bed and the people in the same room as you are constantly pushing that influence on you. It's not easy when you're walking down the hallway and these people are saying this or that. It is hard. It is not difficult. But my friends, as we know, anything worthwhile in this life is difficult. And for me, when I was in those positions, I had to do a couple things. Number one, I had to constantly monitor my actions and my personality. And what I mean by that is that I wanted to make sure that their influence of the way that their personality was wasn't changing mine. I wasn't starting to get pessimistic. I wasn't starting to get angry. I wasn't starting to, you know, involve myself in activities that I didn't approve of. I had to monitor this because I think a lot of times what happens is if we don't pay attention to this, next thing you know, we're completely changed and we've become, like everyone was saying, who we're around, the people we're spending the most time with. So for me, I would it was about every 2 weeks. It wasn't every week. I wish it was, but it was every 2 weeks. I would make this list. And I would write down the attributes of Scott Prendergast, of who I am. And then I would write down the list of the people that were around me and their attributes. And I would monitor every few weeks, like, hey, you know, I found this attribute of Scott Prendergast is starting to go away and starting to get replaced with one of so-and-so person over here. I need to really make sure that I'm paying attention to that. I really need to make sure that I'm on my toes, aware of when I see it happen more, so I don't let that completely consume me, right? This is not easy. It was difficult, but it comes back to that situation. Like I said at the beginning, I couldn't change my environment at the time, but I could. What was within my hands is whether I was going to let that environment change me. And I made the decision that I wasn't going to do that. And because of that, I built a lot of skills. I built a lot of strategies. So at this point in my life, I could be surrounded by people that maybe aren't great for me for a little bit of time here or there, but I'm able to stay true to myself and stay true to what's important with me. Now, with that being said, I'm not going to go out of my way to spend time with people that I don't agree with on, you know, key pillars in my life. I'm not going to spend time with people that are going to bring me down voluntarily. No, I'm not doing that. But if I have to, for a certain reason, for a limited time, I'm able to stay true to myself. I'm able to stay true to the things that are important to me. And I'm able to not let that influence totally change me. But this is very difficult. And we need to sum all of that up. We need to monitor it. We need to write it down sometimes, get it out there so we could see it. And if possible, we need to try to, you know, change the people we're around. So that's probably one of the biggest examples that I have, Ev.
Dude, I love that about the list and checking in every couple of weeks, because you're a self-aware guy. Even if someone's self-aware, though, you could still have very subtle shifts in your personality. So that's interesting, yeah. Because you might have been aware of where you were at that specific day, but it might have shifted from where you were a month ago, which is kind of interesting, because you don't necessarily notice the shift until you look at it like that. And man, most people will never do that ever, let alone every couple of weeks. So I commend that for sure. It's one of the reasons I love you, man. Like, that's just, it's cool to be in that mindset and watching out. And for myself, the most obvious example of this is what I was doing in high school. And I'm not condemning anyone, because I love a lot of these people from high school still. Yeah. But here was the issue. I grew up in a way, I had these mental health issues, all this stuff, whatever. Now, this was 10 years of mental health issues before I ever touched a drug. And then my friends started doing these things. I was one of those people, and I know this isn't the norm, but I still think there's a good chunk of people out there like this. I would say it's probably, I don't know what the stats are. I would assume it's over 20% still even. I didn't want to do drugs. I had no interest in alcohol. I didn't have an interest in smoking weed. And I mentioned those two because by the end of high school, most people have touched those. The majority, I would say. Not everyone, but the majority. Certainly by the end of college, you've tried most of these things. And I know this is a lot of stuff that you've avoided, Scott, which is pretty cool, right? Another reason I like you. But most people, you know how it is, have used these things at one point in their life, even if it was only a couple of times. And so what happened is, this is where the environment always wins. I didn't want to do those things when my friends first started. And there's like, you know, 6-7 of us in a core group in a neighborhood. It starts with the one friend, and he's hanging out with some older people, and he's like, you know, smoking weed, cigarettes, whatever, right? Eighth grade. Okay, it was pretty easy to reject that because no one else was doing anything. It was just him, and we still loved him, but I kind of was in this mindset. I remember actually saying to him at one point, this is how extreme I was the other way at one point. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to be friends with you anymore if you keep doing this. Like, I was straight edge as they came, because of that's just what I believed in. And then the next friend starts doing it. And then the next friend starts doing it. And then another. And then all of a sudden, you're the last one. Now, I want to be clear. My friends were actually very good people in the sense that no one ever said like, oh, Ev, you know, you're a you know what if you don't do this. It was never like that in my friend group. But here's what happens. Now, where I could have said to that one friend before, I don't want to be friends with you anymore if you're doing this, I can't say that to my closest core friend group. Because now I'm going to, especially in high school, right? It's a lot harder psychologically. Now I'm going to be out friends if I don't do that. Okay, so whatever. I'll hang around this, you know, whatever. It's whatever. I'm not going to do it myself though. But now I'm weakened, one, by the environment, and two, because I have these predispositions with the mental health issues. So eventually I give in. Now that's still my own personal choice, but if I had never been around that environment, I literally guarantee I might not have ever touched something like weed in my life, let alone at 15 years old. And so that starts, but now I'm the one hiding the mental health issues, right? And a lot of friends actually were looking back, but that led to a really bad thing. And it was because of the environment that all this happened. And, you know, would I change anything going back? I'm not sure, because it led to a bunch of beautiful things in my life where I'm able to share a powerful story for kids. But the truth is, this ended up leading to like a 2-year plus binge of different drugs. The reason I got kicked out of school was largely due to the psychological reactions of when I tried to stop using these drugs. I mean, this was a big thing. If I had gotten caught in the beginning parts of probation and house arrest using drugs because I hadn't taught myself any other coping mechanisms yet, I would have went to jail. Like, there's a lot of things that happened down the road simply from hanging around people who didn't align with what I believed in. We know that there's studies so clear that you're more likely to commit crime if you grow up around crime. So are those bad people then? Or are they just people that grew up in the wrong place? I'm not justifying anyone. I'm just, you know, it's something that we got to really think about and think deeply about. It's so easy to point a finger at someone, but environment makes a huge difference. And that was something that really destroyed my entire high school career. And I'm very lucky that I got out of it. But I always say, for every one person like me, there's 100 like my other friend in that friend group who passed away at the age of 22, almost 4 years ago to the day. You know, he never got out of that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be too negative, right? But that's just part two, is where we share real stuff, things that actually happened to us. And that's That's one of those things that happen. You can hang on as long as you want. And what Scott does, man, I think that's probably the best way that you could ever survive an environment like that is constantly checking in with yourself. I just wasn't aware enough at 15, 16 to be doing that yet. And so eventually it happens every time. If you don't do strategies like what Scott's talking about, the environment will win. Yep. You might be the last one to hang in there. You might've been the strongest in that sense, but you're not going to win unless you leave. So the environment did get me eventually, and then I got myself through my own choices. So that was probably the biggest lesson I ever learned in terms of who you hang out with and how it matters.
Yeah, and I think that's such a powerful story, Ev. I know we've talked about it offline plenty of times, and it really is amazing how you were able, though, to get out of that. And that's such a great story and why your story is so powerful and why you're able to help so many people because of what you've done and your experiences. So there is always good that comes from everything. Sometimes it just takes a little bit to find it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I love that. And you know, this all makes me think of this. Especially for my younger listeners here, sometimes when your parents are being like, no, I don't want you hanging out with this person. I don't want you doing this or that. We get all mad and salty. Oh, no, my parents are trying to ruin my life. As I get older, I start to understand what they were trying to do. I understand it because they don't want the environment to win. They don't want that environment to influence you. And it really can, especially at that impressionable age of our teenage years, when your prefrontal cortex is not totally developed yet, where you don't have necessarily the best decision making, where you act on impulse, where you act solely on emotion, nothing else. You know, that stuff really comes into play there. So it really is so true when Evan says the environment will win if you don't make some change, because it will. And, you know, I'm thankful that when I went through these different things, I was older, I was able to be self-aware. Thankfully, so I was able to stay in the environment because I had no choice. But ultimately, it was a year. I remember it was my freshman year of college. It was a long year. It was a great year, but it was also some difficulties in it. Had I been in that environment for 10 years, I don't know if I would have had the strength to be able to deal with that, right? And so we have to ask ourselves at the end of the day, and we have to make a decision. And sometimes we have to stand up for ourselves. And sometimes that means losing some friends. Sometimes that means being the odd person out. Sometimes that means going a different way. Sometimes that means traveling the path that doesn't even seem like it's there, right? And these things are difficult, especially in times in our lives where we care so much about social status and we care so much about what other people think. Now, this isn't always an easy thing, but I think if you can make the decision to put yourself before the perceptions others have of you, that's a huge thing, right? You know, I hear every day, whether it's on the radio, on TV, Instagram, blah, 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 all people are talking about is self-care, self-care, self-care. Well, here's a little self-care for you. If you're around people that are going to destroy you in some type of way, whether internally or externally with whatnot, get away from it. Make the decision that you're going to put yourself before what they think of you. Because ultimately it comes down to that. If you're willing to put your happiness and your future and your health before what someone else might say, then you're going to be okay. Now, does that mean it's going to be easy? No. What if you do that, Scott? I hear somebody saying right now, all right, Scott, well, what if I try to do that and everybody bullies me? Everybody outcasts me. And now I'm somebody that no one wants to be around. They're laughing about me. They're making up rumors behind me. Well, I'll ask you this question then. What's more important to you? To following the person that you want to be, or to keep hiding and pretending that you're somebody else just for the sake of everyone else? I can't answer that question for you listeners. Only you can answer that. But I do know that if you put yourself first, if you do your self-care, I guarantee you, you will be happier in the long run because of it. Even if that means dealing with some pain up front and some outcast and some bullying or whatever it might be. But I guarantee you, if you stick with it, you will truly be happy with the decision that you made because you're putting yourself first. And that's something that is really powerful. And that's something that a lot of people sometimes, they never reach that point. I know people in my life I can think of that are in their 60s, man, 60s, who still are living for other people, who are still trapped in the own environment that they never got out of. And like Evan said, that environment won. And not only did that environment win, it completely changed them to where that person is a shell of who they used to be because they never got out of it. And so I ask you this, listeners, which one's more important to you? Your self-care, your future, or what other people think? Only you can answer that.
Wow. Yeah, man, I know someone as well in like those older years. And, you know, it's sad to see it with anyone. It was sad to see it with myself, kind of let the environment change me. But when you're in those later years where there's not that much time left and you're like, wow, this has been decades for this person. That's been their life, man. It's like, dang, as far as we know, we only get one of these. True. It's like, shoot, that was probably something that should have been spent differently. Scott, how much time do I got?
We've got 7 minutes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. I got a short one then. This isn't necessarily how the environment affected me badly per se. It's just to show people how real that it is. So mental health issues, statistics on them are going up, right? And some of that's just because of recognition. I get that. But also there really is are problems in today's world that are leading to more instances of diagnosable mental health issues, whether or not we had perfect awareness of it. And here's what's crazy looking back, Scott. We had a big friend group. So we had like maybe 6 or 7 core guys in our friend group. And then we had a bunch of girls that we hung out with in the same neighborhood. When I look back at this, let's call it like, because I feel like there was like 3 or 4 main girls that we hung out with. So let's call it like 10 people total. I know myself, I'm not going to mention names, obviously. Okay, so at least 8 of those people, 8 of the 10 that I know, had mental health issues that got diagnosed that I know of, mm-hmm. let alone the other 2. Now that's statistically way out of the norm. And here's the question. Did we ever have a conversation about that stuff? Not at that time. I learned all this stuff later in life. And so there's a saying that goes, just like you kind of talked about misery loves company. It also is birds of a feather flock together, mm-hmm. which could be a really positive thing or a not so positive thing. And what I find amazing is that 15, 16 years old, somehow you have to think about this. This isn't conscious. It's not like we're getting together for the mental health club. Subconsciously, we were able to identify something in each other that led to this core group being there. Because some kids, you know, from the neighborhood growing up, they kind of faded off. They stopped hanging out with all that. They weren't about that, right? It's kind of weird how that happened. But this core stayed together. And whether or not we realized it, we were all so much more similar than we ever knew at that time. And again, that's just 8 out of 10 that I know of having diagnosed stuff. Chances are, I mean, just with the trend that we already had, I would guess those other 2 probably had something that either never got diagnosed or they just never talked to me about. Sure. And we're talking real stuff. We're talking eating disorders, personality disorders, mood disorders, you know, the serious stuff. And it just, again, so that doesn't necessarily, I'm not suggesting that because we all hung out with each other, we had those things. It's just, I think when people hear this sometimes, they don't believe it. They don't realize how similar they are to their friends. You know, well, okay, we don't look the same. We don't talk exactly the same. One's got a little more of a city accent than me. So we're not that similar. I guarantee as similar as you think you are, it's probably 5 to 10 times worse, depending on the person and their level of self-awareness. It's going to happen every time. And that's why Darren Hardy, he wrote The Compound Effect, first personal development book I ever read. I said it probably in episode 1 of this show. He talks about the different types of friends. And you kind of already mentioned this with how you spend time with people. There's 3-hour friends for him. There's 3 days. Then there's 3 months, like extended vacations and stuff. And then there's 3 minutes. He talks about his one neighbor being a 3-minute person. Great for a little chit chat. How's the family? How's the dog? That's great, but I cannot stay with that person any longer. Then there's the 3-hour ones, which might be grabbing lunch with someone from high school. You know, we have nothing in common, but I have a respect for that person and they have one for me. Cool. We can hang out for 3 hours. And you know how this goes, right? It can keep going on and on. And then you find those very special people that are perfectly aligned with you and what you want in life. And those are your, you know, 3-year, 3 lifetime friends, whatever you want to call it. And I know that's kind of even going into part 3, but we have to think about categorizing these people. And guys, this does not mean burning bridges, because that's how I misunderstood. That was a very toxic way that I applied this lesson when I was younger. I started just cutting people off completely, Scott. I mean, I literally must have cut off like 25 people in the beginning, because if you did not agree with me 100% or weren't aligned 100%, I got you out of my life. Mm-hmm. It turned out that was my own insecurity and my own lack of control for not being able to avoid getting back to those darker places, that if someone else influenced me, I had to cut them out. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's okay in a sense, but like not if you're being mean to them or a jerk to them. That's your own fault, right? So Learn to categorize people. You don't have to tell them which category they're in, right? It's just, it plays out like that. And it's a pretty helpful thing. So that was probably again, a little different than the main part of part 2, but certainly something to think about. We are similar to our friends, I promise you, whether or not you realize that or not.
Yeah, it really is. And friends are such a powerful thing. I think we sometimes take it for granted. And I think how you choose your friends is really, really a telltale sign as well. I think there are some times where you kind of feel like, we've heard the term friends by association, right? And I always sometimes have a problem with friends by association, because I might be friends with We might have a mutual friend, right? But that doesn't mean we have mutual connections. That doesn't mean we have mutual influence. That doesn't mean we have mutual ideas, right? We could be totally different. And I think it's really important that when we're choosing friends, and this isn't just for young kids, this is for full-grown adults too here, mind you. When we're choosing the people that we spend time with and we hang out with, we want to make sure that they're doing kind of three things, I guess is a good way to put it. Number one, we want to make sure that they are making us feel good in some type of way. Now, I'm not saying they have to go up to us every day and be like, hey, you're the best person I know. But we want to make sure they're making us feel good in some type of way, okay? Whatever that might be, whether it's just feeling good talking to them, anything, okay? That's number one. Number two, we want to make sure that they're challenging us in some type of way. And I don't mean challenging in the sense of, oh, every opinion you say this, I'm the opposite. You say this, I say that. No. I mean challenging in a way that they're kind of motivating you. They're motivating you to either maybe be more like them, to be more like somebody else, to be a better version of yourself, right? Somebody that's a really good friend is going to motivate you in some type of way to be better in some type of way. Now, that's different for everybody, but I think that's a really, really important thing too. So number one is someone that's going to motivate, or number two, excuse me, is someone that's going to motivate you. And then the third thing, I think, is just, you know, somebody who you're willing to share with, whether that be feelings, whether that be conversationally, whether that be more physical stuff, whatever it is. But I think you need to make sure that you're having something that you can share so that you can both bring to the table to offer this friendship. Because I think we all know times where friendships have kind of faded away in the past where it feels like one person's giving all this stuff, one person's making all the effort and the other person's not. Then it starts to kind of break. Because as humans, we, you know, whether we realize it or not, we both want to get something out of some type of relationship, whether that's a romantic relationship or whether that's just a friendship. There needs to be this kind of balance, because otherwise it's more of a kind of a, I guess, a dictatorship, really. And no one really wants to be a part of that, at least around here. So I think if you find those three things in a friend, that's going to really help you end help you to become better and help you to surround yourself with an environment that is going to be safer for you, that's going to help you rather than hinder you in some type of way. So we've only got about 15 more seconds real quick here. We're going to be right back, everybody. What we're going to be doing now, for those of you that don't know, we're going to go into part three, which is our favorite part, because we get to talk about specific strategies and things that you, the listener, can do right here, right now, today, to take away from this episode to help you with whatever the topic is. So for today's instance, finding out how to maybe not let your environment overtake you and being mindful of it. So we will be right back, everybody, after these quick commercial breaks. Find Yourself Boxes was created to foster the connection between a person and those in life who may be working through mental health challenges by providing curated and customizable boxes filled with research-backed wellness products that promote healing. Coupling personal experience with professional mental health guidance, Find Yourself Boxes meets people where they are on their journey. Wellness doesn't look the same for every person, and these products are packaged together to touch various aspects of our wellness spectrum. Find your healing with Find Yourself Boxes at findyourselfboxes.com, and you can get 20% off your first purchase. Does the pandemic have your hair looking a little funky? Are people stopping and staring and glancing at you as you walk down the street? Folks, come on now. Hair salons, they've been open for a while. It's time to get your hair cut. You've definitely been procrastinating. I know my producer has. And when you do it, you should head to Hair and Visions in Ottsville, PA. Hair and Visions is open Tuesday through Saturday. They specialize in coloring and also offer keratin treatments that give your hair a smooth finish. Hair and Visions offers haircuts for all ages, so you can bring the whole family. Schedule your appointment today by calling 610-847-8894. Again, that is 610-847-8894. And tell them that Scotty P and Health Coach Ev sent you.
If you're looking to get more TMS, ketamine, and Spravato patients, then 7-Figure Psych is for you. Beyond Marketing's flagship 7-Figure Psych business development and marketing system helps mental health professionals to attract, schedule, and convert new patients into care. Join a community of like-minded business professionals and automate your entire online presence. Visit these guys at 7figurepsych.com. That's the number 7figurepsych.com. Guys, cancer is a word that most of us know all too well. And as is the case for so many other conditions, Western medicine is a miraculous yet incomplete form of treatment for those who are suffering. But what if there was a place in our community that helped meet the many other needs for cancer patients? Well, that's exactly what my aunt, Corinne Sikora, envisioned. And now you can help make that vision come to life. The Corinne Sikora Wellness and Support Center is designed to be a comforting space for all cancer patients across Bucks County. This center will help these individuals meet their emotional, social, physical, and lifestyle needs that are essential pieces of one's healing journey. Because of people like you, this center will be able to offer a multitude of completely free services to local patients and their families. A large vision like this needs all the support it can get, and you can help today. Go to CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. That is CorinneSikora, CorinneSikoraCenter.org, and click the donate button. All right, and we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P and Ev, where we are talking all things mental health all of the time. By the way, my name is Evan Trantu, a.k.a. Ev. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And hello, everybody. My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P, and I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
All right, our favorite part. This episode is going great. What we're talking about today is our environment and not just, you know, the mountains or the beaches. And I'm sure that those would help in certain ways. But the people we surround ourselves with, the content we consume, the stuff that we're allowing into our brains, that has an effect on our mental health. It actually has an effect on every area of our life, and there's science behind this. But specifically, we're talking about the mental health side. Now, in part one, we always introduce the topic. Part two is where we kind of share how not knowing these lessons affected us in a not so great way. And then part three, again, that's our favorite part. It's the things that we've learned and the things that we can apply directly. And I got to just get this started off right from the get-go. It's a short one, Scott. For me, what ended up happening is I made a decision first after the age of 18, all this stuff happened, right? Get arrested. I'm on probation, all this bad stuff. And I made a decision that I wanted something different. And now after that decision was made, I'm a believer that it seems as if something comes in and kind of helps you out with that decision, but you don't have to believe that. It's not important for the lesson. What is important though, is when we decide that we want to go somewhere else, where we decide, okay, I want to be this type of person, then we know who we need to be aligned with. We need to be aligned with people who have similar values and goals. So someone that's good for Scott might not even be good for me. And of course, there's some black and white to this in the sense that, yes, if someone is physically hurting people, that is bad. If someone is going out and donating all the time, that's objectively good. But what we're saying is good and bad for us might be a little more nuanced, where if Scott is trying to be a pro basketball player or whatever it might be, he's probably going to want to hang around people that are not me. Similarly, if I'm trying to be a top real estate agent, I'm probably going to want to hang around people who are not Scott. Like, I want to hang around people who have those respective goals, and that's perfectly okay. And so since I made this decision that I want something different, I want to become someone different, I now kind of have an idea of who I want to get surrounded with. And I was absolutely blessed and lucky enough to just, I mean, it was 3 months later after making this decision, I met some of the most incredible people in the world, very positive. They read books on personal development and goal setting and achieving dreams and successful people. And they shared these things with me. And literally, and we're talking now a total of 5 months, because 3 months was after I made the decision, but 5 months total, I went from driving around in a car, using drugs, smoking weed with my friends while driving, man. I mean, this was bad. And then switching that up to literally hanging around people where we're meeting up every single day in summer, talking about the books that we're reading, listening to personal development audios in the car together on our way to like events and stuff. That was literally the change for me in a matter of five, maybe it was 6 months, whatever. That's crazy. That's crazy. And so it can start with that decision, because when you know the decision, then you can figure out who's actually right for you. If I don't know that I want to be a pro basketball player or a real estate agent or a speaker or whatever, I can't hang around those people. That's one of the reasons, just so you guys know, Scott and I do this show together. We like each other. It's not like we're getting together every weekend and hanging out. We do this show together and we associate because we have similar values. We're positive people and we have similar goals in life. And we rub off each other every time we do this show and every time we communicate, every single time that happens. So we have something here that we do this with already, right? And it's very intentional. So to find those people for you, again, I was trying to keep this short, but to keep it simple at least, find out who you are and where you actually want to go. So that might be the hardest part about all this. But then put yourself out there, man. And I was a very shy person. I had social anxiety. I used to blush with everyone I talked to. It was very embarrassing. So I get that. But there's clubs for everything. There's internet groups for everything. There's YouTube channels for everything with communities involved with them, okay? Ideally, meet up in person, that'd be great. But you got to do what you got to do. So if you want to be that person, go find those people. Just Google search, club, meetup, whatever it is, with whatever you're trying to do, and go there. Go hang around them, and it'll change your life. It'll literally change your life to get around those people, and you'll be amazed at how fast you can accelerate into what you're trying to do. So that is my first piece of advice, and probably the best one I can give in this part three, Scott.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic advice. And in today's day and age, there are so many opportunities for you to go and meet like-minded people. Yes. Something that comes to mind is you got your Facebook groups, you got meetup.com, obviously old school clubs and organizations. There are all different types of things, but the key ingredient is that you, the listener, whoever it is, you have to make that decision. Nobody's going to do it for you. It's not always going to fall out of the sky. You have to make that decision to go put yourself out of your comfort zone to go do that stuff. Because to very few people does that come naturally. Is that something that everybody right away is born with love to do, is meeting new people that you have nothing, that you don't know at all? Like, that can be scary for like 99% of people, but you got to take that chance. You got to take that step. You know, no one else, like I said, could do it for you. It begins with you. So I love that. One of the pieces of advice that I want to offer, and this is kind of like a little thing that you can do right now, as the listener, I want you to think of this. I want you to separate these two things. I want you to separate who you are from what influences you. I think it is really important to separate the two, who you are from what influences you, because they are two different things. Who you are is a culmination of the pillars of your life, what's really important to you, what you define yourself as, what those things that are just, when you think of yourself, those couple things come to mind. That's who you are, right? Now, what influences you is very different. It could be certain type of behavior. It could be music. It could be a job. It could be, you name it. Insert it for yourself, whatever it is, listener, okay? But the reason that I say we have to separate these two things is because if we don't separate them, all of a sudden, what influences us is going to start creeping into and really taking over who we actually are. And then we're not who we are anymore. Then we're just what's surrounding us. And that kind of is a scary thing, because then we lose track of ourselves. And I think when we lose track of ourselves, that's when we become very susceptible to outside behaviors that maybe aren't good for us, and outside influence that's not good for us. You know, I can think of a lot of different people that I've met in my life who they don't separate the two, and they don't know who they truly are, because the only thing they know about themselves is what everyone else has said and what everyone else has kind of forced them to be or to do. And there will come a point in time in that person's life where they're going to kind of be at a crossroads. And if you don't know what's important to you, and if you don't know the core values and core beliefs of your life, you're just going to be kind of like a puppet for whoever's around you. And nobody wants to be that. No one voluntarily says, that's what I want to be in life. But if we're not aware of it, it can happen quicker than we think. So for all the listeners today, you don't have to make a list of it. I think it's great that way. That's what helps me. Maybe for you, it's just a mental list. Maybe it's on the phone, whatever. But find out who you are and then separate that from what influences you. That is a great first step to being able to become aware of your environment and also being more self-aware about maybe who's in your environment that's not really good for you. So that's one of my first pieces of advice I think is really helpful.
Yeah, and it can take, I mean, who knows, years sometimes to figure out who you are once you get out of all that social conditioning, which we all have, or trauma, if that's relevant to you. It's going to take some time, but it's a worthy endeavor. Because once you figure it out, your life can change pretty rapidly, because most of us, again, just have no idea who we actually are and what we stand for. My second piece of advice is actually a pretty cool one. In today's world, because of the internet and just quick access to things, you can actually hang around some of the greatest people of all time. And if we know that we become who we spend the most time with, wouldn't it be amazing then to hang around some of the greatest people of all time? And you say, well, Ev, how can you do that? There are thousands, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio by sometimes just single people who were some of the greatest speakers or influencers of all time. There's autobiographies. There's all this stuff. And so that was a trick that I used, because I started hanging around this new group of people at 18, and we didn't split up. We just stopped working on the same goal together. So I'm still friends with these people to this day, and it's wonderful, but we all have different things that we're doing now. So we weren't engaged with each other 7 days a week like we could be if we all have the same mission and the same exact goal. And so you spend a lot more time by yourself, but you still want those influences. So how do I get that? One of the best things you can do is just going on YouTube and type in motivational educational speech or whatever, and just leave it playing in the background. I'm not even saying that you have to consciously pay attention, because our mind's always picking up on things. And if you don't believe that, tell me this. Have you ever found yourself singing a song in the car that wasn't on, or singing a song at the house? And you're like, where the heck did I hear that? And you realize, in fact, you heard it at the store earlier while you were looking for clothes. You were looking for groceries. You weren't singing the song, but you realized your mind picked it up and now you're singing it later. So you're picking up on this stuff all the time. And that's why, I mean, a lot of the times I would rather silence in the car than music, because sometimes the damn music's just so negative what it's saying. I don't want that influencing me. I either want something positive on, or just let me do my own thing. But we got to be careful about that. And Darren Hardy talks about, because the same guy from The Compound Effect, he talks about how his car is a classroom, and that our mind is like a dirty glass of water. If you take that glass and it's all dirty and stuff, and you just keep pouring clean water into it, what happens? Maybe we've seen something like this with a hose or whatever. Eventually, the dirty water clears out. It's not going to happen instantly, but you keep pouring in. And over time, the dirtiness just comes out. Now, at the same time, though, what happens to a tank or a glass that you just leave that's not getting filled up? It's going to dirty again, right? So this is a constant thing. This isn't something that we can just do one time and then, oh, well, we're cured or we're good. I've had fluctuations over the last 8 years when I was a little more on track with the habits and versus when I was a little less on track. Like, there was times when I got started, I saw it working so well. I think I told you this before, Scott. I had a rule for 2.5 months. You were not even allowed to listen to music in my car at all. It was only audios. I was obsessed. I was reading all the time. Like, it was just, and I was around that group of people. So that was it. That was my only thing I was doing. And was it obsessive for some people? Sure. But again, I was just someone who had, I mean, for God's sake, was on probation. You know, I wanted to get out of this. I didn't want to be in this mess anymore. So sometimes you got to be a little obsessive to make up for the time that you spent screwing around and doing the wrong thing. So if you can't get around the people, or there's a global pandemic again and you're locked in the house, sometimes it's actually a blessing in disguise, because you have more time and more access to some of the greatest people that ever lived through books, audios, videos, steal their ideas. It's not hanging out with them one-on-one. It's a little different, but you're still getting influenced by them. I am influencing Scott today. Scott is influencing me, period. It just happens. That's how it is. So we better hope that it's a good influence, right? That's just another way to get it. I know it's the same kind of advice as the first one, but rather than go to the groups and meet the people, find the people instantly online.
Yeah, it's so true. And our minds, the way that they're wired is we're constantly picking up information subconsciously, whether we realize it or not. And one of the things I talk about a lot is people that I'll work with, I'll be like, hey, we got to make sure that what we're subconsciously picking up on is actually good for us, because subconsciously is going to eventually become conscious. I don't know when the transfer happens. It may take days, weeks, months, even years, but it will. Okay. Because that's what's lurking underneath, and it's going to come to the surface. And when it does, we want to make sure it's something that is going to help us rather than hinder us, move us forward rather than move us backwards. And real quick, because we just got a minute or two here before I give it back to Ed, before I shut things down here. But I would really like to let everybody know is that, look, pay attention to the little things in your life. If you notice there's this little negativity with, you know, your brother or sister's radio that they're always playing, you know, get that out of your system. You know, make sure that's not there, because what starts as a little seed of in the subconscious will start to grow into something and manifest itself into something bigger later on. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They'll say, where did this problem come from? I've never been around this. I've never done this or that. But if we could go back in time and see what's around them subconsciously, what they're picking up on, that's where you would trace it back to. So we want to really make sure that we're doing that. And that's why we got to monitor who we're around. And I think that's just a super important thing. So Ev, we got about a minute or so for you to say one more thing before we come back to me. So what do you got, Ev?
Okay. Geez, man, time's flying by today. I don't have much more. I guess I would just give an exercise, and it's an exercise that can kind of help with the things we already mentioned. Take a piece of paper, whatever it is, or type it out. If you want to do it on your phone, that's fine. But list out the 5 people you spend the most time with. And I know I already said something similar to this. List out those people. And if you can't do this, man, I mean, with all due respect, you're not ready for the next level in life then if you can't even do this. But list out those 5. And next to each of those 5, put 3 most favorable traits that they have, and then the 3 least desirable traits that they have. So you're writing down 6 traits total for everyone. And then write down for yourself, but you're the 6th person. And then write down where you want to go, current goals that you have, what you want to look like in 5 to 10 years. And then see how well, you have to be honest with yourself, See how well that vision that you have matches up with those five people. And sometimes this can hurt. The hardest time, Scott, is when it's a good person who doesn't align, right? They're nice. They care. They're supportive. But it doesn't align and they're bringing you down in ways that they don't even realize. You do not need to feel guilty for separating yourself to the degree necessary to go do the things that you know you're here on this earth to do, or the things that light you up and make you happy. You're not obligated to anyone in any way, in my opinion. And I don't mean to sound so selfish, but I do believe one of the best things we could ever do, a selfless act actually, is to become the best versions of ourselves so that we can best serve the world, our communities, and the people that we're around. So I actually think it's a very selfless thing to focus on ourselves for a while so that we can best serve. So take that paper, computer, whatever, five people, six traits each, three unfavorable, three favorable, and then see if it matches up where you want to go. And if you don't already know, we always start with me and we finish with Scott. So Scott, I'm sure you got something great for them to get them ready for this weekend.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ev. So everybody, I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I'll end with this. We talked about so much today, and this episode is something that all of us can think of and all of us have dealt with at some point in our lives. And I want you to end really with this. I want you to know that, look, sometimes you can't always change your environment. You can't. But you know what you can control is whether you allow your environment to change you. That's in our hands. And I think that is something that I hope everybody can really take from this and to know that this is going to be a process. This is not something that's going to change overnight. This is not something that is going to be super fun all the time, but we have to do it. It is the necessary work to be the person that we want to be in this life, to make the impact on the people that we want to make an impact on, to be who we feel we're called to be. It all begins with that environment. It all begins with who we surround ourselves by and what we think of ourselves. And we've got to make sure that we have a better self-belief. And if you're around people that are helping you to have a better self-belief, let's go, man. Stay with them because you're going to go places. But if you're around people and always listening to people who are telling you all the reasons why you can't do this and can't do that or why you'll never be this, something's got to change. Something's got to change. And as we talked about before, you may say, Scott, I can't change it because it's my mom or my dad or my aunt or my uncle or someone I live with. Well, that's where we come back to the quote that I said there. We can't always change that environment, but what we can change is whether we allow that environment to affect us. So take a stand today. Take a stand today. Find out who you are. Start to find out who you are, I should say. It takes time. But start that process. Start finding out what's important to you and learn to separate that from all the outside influences. Because when you truly know who you are and you're on that right path, doesn't matter who's around you, you're going to be able to make sure that you find the right people to surround yourself with to better yourself.
Yes, sir.
So everybody, thank you so much again. I really appreciate it. You can all find me at www.scottypinspiration.com and Instagram at scottyp_inspo. And Ev, where can everyone find you?
Just on Instagram @Evan_Transit.
Awesome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We all hope you have a fantastic weekend. See you all later. Thank you so much for tuning in today.